A disgraceful decision. That's how Northern Ireland's Corey Evans described a dodgy penalty. It was more than a dodgy penalty. It wasn't a penalty against him in last night's World Cup qualifier. Now the team's hopes of progressing to the tournament in Russia next year are hanging by a thread. But all's not lost. Everything to play for in the second leg on Sunday. Let's hear how that controversial penalty decision was given by the referee last night.
Shaqiri on the volley, and it's blocked again. And once more, he's given a penalty. I can only assume he thinks Corey Evans has handled that from the volley. Rodriguez into the corner, bottom right-hand corner. McGovern went the other way. It's Northern Ireland 0, Switzerland 1.
0-30, 30-80, 55-55. The former Northern Ireland international Warren Feeney with us this morning. Well, this is just devastating, Warren, and infuriating.
It was an absolute shocking decision. I think you've just, you said there in the words. I just can't get it for such a high-profile game. And don't get me wrong, yes, you know, obviously he's refereed a very good level, but the decision he made, and he cannot see that ball. The decision just baffles me that he can give a decision like that, and it's cost us.
Got to say, the team didn't play that well either.
No, listen, take nothing away from Switzerland. I thought they were very, very good, and I said before in the notes that, you know, I would have taken 0-0 because, you know, people say, oh, it's probably the easiest out of the teams, but you don't win nine games in a row and not be a good side. You know, everyone said the hostility at Windsor, but these are all top players at their top level. And as I said, this, it'll be interesting now, you know, Michael, we're set up, and that's what worried me. We're set up to stay in the game and hopefully get a set player a corner. But it's going to be see what a good manager Michael is now, because we're going to have to flip the coin now. He's going to have to go at Switzerland in their own backyard. And as I say, it's all down to Sunday, you know. So it's going to be a very, very difficult task for us.
George Nishankel, we know that you're a big fan. What's the level of anger out there?
The anger's huge, sort of. You know, when you were in the ground last night, you didn't realise how bad a decision it was till you seen the replay when you get home. And I thought maybe Warren would agree with me. I thought the referee set the tone from the first 5 minutes with the tackle in Dallas, so that, you know, he was going to have a bad game from that. So he was, and he was always under pressure, because I think he knew himself. Because have you seen him talking to Dallas on the TV? I watched it last night. You know, he knew there was something wrong. But I mean, it's only half time in the tie. So it is, and we were out of our usual rhythm last night. So we were. So, you know, as Warren says, our Michael O'Neill will come to the fore here, and hopefully cool head and determined hearts will get us through. But, Stephen, can I just mention, I've been at football grounds all over the world. I've been at World Cup finals, European Cup finals, and that atmosphere in that ground last night, nowhere matched it. The fans were out of this world last night.
The fans might have been out of this world. That referee, he was on a different planet, wasn't he? A completely different planet.
Surely he gets downgraded for that. I don't know when FIFA meet or what way the gradings go. Maybe Warren would know better than me, but he has to get downgraded for the two decisions alone. Down for a grade one referee, definitely, because it's not a top-class referee for games of that importance. You know, it's too important to two countries for to have mistakes. Not only one, but two or three mistakes that he made.
Here's how Colin Murray described the result in Five Live after the game had finished.
We talked about history, we talked about the occasion, we talked about how football can bring about positive change and be a catalyst for it on and off the pitch, and we talked about heroes. Yet here we are talking about a referee. It's the dark ages. Welcome to the dark ages. I absolutely agree that Switzerland were the better team tonight, but football's based on putting the ball in the net. I've got many mates who'll sit and tell me all the possessions and all the completed passes and everything else. 0-0, and that's how we play football. And I tell you something, the Republic of Ireland had Thierry Henry's handball, and the level of how baffling a decision that is, and I know you guys as well focused 100% on looking what's going on in the field. There is not anybody in Wales tonight that thinks that's a penalty. There is not anybody in England tonight that thinks that's a penalty. There is not anyone in Scotland who thinks that a penalty. There is not anybody in Switzerland who thinks that was a penalty. It was shocking. That's the only word you can use. Here's a clue. If the opposing team don't claim for a penalty and you're on the wrong side of the player, you probably shouldn't be given a penalty. Listen, he's a referee. It's a difficult job. He's obviously refereed at various levels all over the world. He's probably a father and a son, and I won't speak personally bad about him, and it's only football. But I tell you what, the decision is... I'll use the word baffling because I think that's the professional one to use.
Well, Stephen Pinkham joining us this morning. Stephen, morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Stephen. The BBC football pundit, former Scotland international, Pat Nevin as well. Pat, morning to you.
Morning.
Good morning, Pat. Stephen, first, what just do you make of that decision? You've got a player with, you know, he can't take his arm off when a shot is fired at him within a couple of yards and magically remove his arm and his shoulder and become some type of changeling.
It was an absolutely scandalous decision, Stephen. The bottom line is the referee got it wrong. And what makes it even worse is he was right beside the incident. He could see it as clear as day, and yet he still decided to give a penalty. I've been watching Northern Ireland for a long, long time, watching a lot of games at Windsor Park. Never have I felt the sense of injustice that was going around that ground last night. It was unbelievable. Northern Ireland, you're right in what you said yourself, that they didn't play well. They weren't at their best. But even so, that game was going to finish 0-0 without that decision. And then for that referee to change the course of history, potentially, was shocking. I would also say as well, Stephen, FIFA have got a case to answer here as well, because for a match of that magnitude, they don't have video technology. Yet for a Mickey Mouse friendly between England and Germany tonight, video technology is going to be available. And that decision would have been changed in a matter of seconds because everyone knew it was the wrong decision. The Swiss players knew it was the wrong decision. When that referee looks at it back over the next few days, he'll know he made a terrible mistake. It's just terrible for Northern Ireland. But what they have to do now is channel that sense of injustice, go over to Switzerland and play the game of their lives. This isn't over. I was chatting to several players last night, and they feel that they still have a shot at making the World Cup finals. They feel if they score the first goal, they're going to be right in this tie, and all of a sudden, all the pressure will be on Switzerland. What they need is to produce a performance of epic proportions, and they also need the referee to give them a fair whack. And if that happens, you never know, Stephen. You just never know. Football, it's a strange game at times, and I'm not ruling Northern Ireland out. It's going to be a massive, massive undertaking for them over in Basel. But I just hope they use the injustice of last night to their advantage and produce something really, really special.
And they're going to have to... It's going to have to be a miraculous recovery now, Pat Nevin, for Northern Ireland to do this. And let's hope that they do.
I mean, to be honest, but it's secondary, to be fair. The likelihood is that that will cost your chances of getting to the World Cup. One of your first calls there said the fans are out of this world. Your team's not almost out of the World Cup because of inadequacy. Now, I also heard you mention Colin Murray and Colin Murray talking. Now, Colin Murray and I spent about 8 years doing a show over in the UK, and we argued constantly about this video technology. And I kept on saying, you got to get it in, mate. You got to get it in. It's an absolute nightmare. We are in the dark ages. Nice to hear Colin saying dark ages again now when it finally hits home. If you're Welsh, you remember Joe Jordan 1977. It's seared on your mind. You didn't get to the Euros or World Cup it was actually then, because Joe Jordan handled the ball. We already mentioned Thierry Henry. If you're an Irishman, you feel the same way. Scotland, we've got a few ourselves. Panucci did it to us, and for a last minute winner, shouldn't have got against Italy. You're going to remember this for years. Sorry, guys, this is decades worth, and it's all because of the inadequacy of FIFA and UEFA to use video technology. Get out with the pace, guys, would you?
Come on, Pat, stop talking us down insofar as we're not out yet.
No, you're not out yet.
We're not out yet. There's a chance here.
Yes, what I said, but the likelihood is you may get a away goal against you. Now, if you get an early goal early on, then fine, it's great. A team that kind of was outplayed you last night, they did play very well. Northern Ireland didn't play to their best in any way. Looked most dangerous, I think, from free kicks and corners, you know, and getting the ball in the box. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all. You know, but players like Lichtstein are, you know, over on that right-hand side, they look so dangerous. And at home, they're a really, really tough egg to crack. You know, I'm not saying you have no chance. I'm saying, don't forget your anger about this. Don't forget it. Get a hold of people at UEFA, get a hold of people at FIFA, and change this now so it doesn't happen again?
I don't know anything about football, right? There's the bottom line. Is it the same referee in this next tie, or will it be a different one?
No, it'll be a different one. Almost always is a different one. It isn't always different, but I expect it'll be a different one. And by the way, it will definitely be a different one now, without a shadow of a doubt. They wouldn't let that happen again. And by the way, you've not even started to hear the conspiracy theories yet. Oh, yeah, the Swiss get the decisions because, you know, they want their people, because obviously the international bodies are based in that part of the world, which is probably nonsense. It was total inadequacy, A, from the referee, and B, from the authorities that have let, you know, a lot of, not just footballers. You know, if you're a footballer, you've worked your whole life maybe to get to these finals, and you're conned out, not deliberately conned, but by inadequacy, right? And it's unacceptable. But if you're a fan, and you've followed your team all over the world, and you've paid good money, and you want a level of fairness that can be easily delivered, and they won't do it. It's a joke. I can't believe they don't do it anymore.
Let's see what we think at home this morning. 0-30-30-80-55-55. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead.
Listen, Stephen, bad result. Sorry to hear that Northern Ireland are 1 foot out of the competition, but there's always... Sunday night, they have another chance to come back. Now, that said, let's get over it. It's a game of football.
You were referring, I believe, to the phone-in room about George Nashankel when he said he's been to grounds all over the world.
He said he was at grounds all over the world, something like myself, and he said that's the greatest atmosphere in the world. He obviously hasn't been to the East End of Glasgow on a European football night.
Stephen, listen, I've been to World Cup finals. There when Sudan gets...
Well, it's Michael you're speaking to. Speak to Michael.
I've been to World Cup finals, and that wasn't a ham-fisted created atmosphere. That was passion from the fans. That wasn't loudspeakers being blasted out all over the place or cameras stuck, microphones stuck in among the fans. That was pure raw passion from them Northern Ireland fans last night. So it was fantastic to see.
I'm not disputing that, George. What I'm saying is, with the greatest respect, 18,000 people at Windsor Park, you are describing as the greatest atmosphere in the world.
Michael, what are you on this morning? Why are you trying to talk the fans down now?
No, I'm not trying to...
Can you not get behind the side, for goodness sake? Is this the day to do this?
See what you know about football. You're right. You know very little about football.
Well, sounds like I know a little bit more than you do.
What you know about football, you get right in the back of a stamp. Now, what I'm saying is, Northern Ireland have 1 foot out of the World Cup. Get over it. Get over it. Play the match on Sunday night. And if they beat Switzerland and they qualify, I'll be over the moon.
Stephen, there's a thing too. You see the class that Northern Ireland uses from the management to the players right down. See, if you listen to Michael O'Neill's interviews from last night, if that had been Mourinho or somebody, you know, it had near enough got through to the competitions for the way it went over the referee. The class that oozed from Michael O'Neill and them players last night, and yes, they were disappointed, but they were saying all the right things. They'll challenge their energy towards Sunday night, so they will, and cool heads and warm hearts. Hopefully a goal earlier on, because if Northern Ireland get a goal earlier on, then it's back into Northern Ireland's hands, because Northern Ireland can play like that. That's their pattern of play. If they can get a goal and set up 1-1, then the Swiss will be worried. So it's all down to the first goal.
And for me to understand, George, what's Michael doing here? Is he talking down? Is he saying, basically, are you saying, Michael, that the atmosphere last night was not comparable?
No, what I'm saying was, I totally disagree with George's perception that Windsor Park, with 18,000 in it, is compatible to Celtic Park on a European night in the East End of Glasgow. Or let me finish, George. Let me finish, please.
He's starting to wind me up.
Wind who up? What are you on about?
You're winding me up.
No, I'm not. How would I wind you up? No, seriously. And if I've got this right, Northern Ireland could beat Switzerland 2-1 and still be out of the competition. Would that be right?
No, the threes are two away goals. Michael, come on, get with it here. So we have
he knows nothing. This man knows nothing about football. Nothing. He thinks it's ping pong we're talking about. He knows as much about... Michael in Belfast knows as much about football as Vinny does.
See, as regards the atmosphere, I'll leave it to the likes of Jerry Armstrong, Jerry Taggart, and all great Northern Ireland players.
No, you see, George, your problem is that the atmosphere is your personal opinion and you're quite entitled to that. That's what I'm saying to you.
Here's Graham next. Morning, Graham. Good morning, Graham.
I would rather Celtic Park or a European football.
Well, then go to Celtic. In fact, I'll buy you a ticket to Celtic Park right now.
Nolan, will you?
Yes.
Seriously, you took me to tell you something. You promised me something before it, and you done a U-turn on it. So don't see anything comes out of your mouth. I wouldn't believe it for one second.
Here's Graham in Portadown. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning, Stephen. Just typical. Another morning of whinging past the buck. It's always somebody else's problem. This morning it's the ref's problem.
Now that referee was a
surprise,
tube.
Surprise! Come on, the guy made a decision.
He was a tube. Guys.
Oh come on, let's be honest. But Northern Ireland is a third-rate team. You're going to get knocked out anyway. View this as a good thing. He's going to get knocked out. It'll save you some money for travelling away again. Think of it as a good thing. Time to pull your big boy pants up and stop whining.
Stephen Beacon.
I think Graham's talking absolute garbage there. And
oh yeah, it's attack Graham. Don't attack the point.
Listen, I'll address your point, Graham. Northern Ireland made the Euro 2016 finals. They finished second in the group, just behind Germany. This is a fantastic side. It's one of the best sides Northern Ireland's ever had. Their home record is brilliant, and hopefully they will go on and continue to qualify for tournaments. Last night, the match was decided on a referee decision, and it was a poor decision, and I think everyone is entitled to talk about that. The referee got it wrong. Had he got it right, that match would have finished 0-0 last night, and Northern Ireland would fancy their chances of qualifying for the World Cup. They still have a chance, in my opinion, and if they play better, and if they play to their best, they can still go to the World Cup finals. No, make no mistake about that. It's going to be a huge ask, but they're still in the frame here. So don't rule these boys out. Northern Ireland players, Stephen Davis, Johnny Evans, Gareth McCauley, the manager, Michael O'Neill, they have performed heroics for this country for the past few years. So I do think it's disrespectful to call them a poor side because...
Oh, come on, they are a third team.
Genuinely, that is absolute garbage.
Oh, that's your opinion, but as far as I'm concerned, they're a third team. Always have been. I mean...
Did you watch the match last night, Graham?
I did. Watched the highlights of it.
Did you?
I'll tell you, they're always a third team. They always will be. Like, let's suck it up and be realistic here. Come on, they're never going to win anything significant. Oh, yeah, they'll tinker around the edges. They'll maybe get to the odd final. But, you know, that's about the height of it. They're never going to pick up a World Cup.
Well, here, they're the reigning British champions over England, Scotland and Wales. They've never won anything significant.
Wow, that really impresses me.
Let me ask you something. See if you get worked under the house, and you get windows in the house and the windows leak, the builder put them in, is it the builder's fault or your fault?
Well, now we're talking about builders. I thought we were talking about football.
I'm quitting it to the referee. The referee didn't do his job right. Here's the most galling thing.
If the referee had made a decision the other way for Northern Ireland, there wouldn't be a word this morning. He'd be all jumping up and going down. Oh, we're through to the finals. And you
here's
wouldn't
the
really
most
care less
galling
about
thing. But because
all right, Graham. Okay, let's...
You don't like
Stephen,
it.
Stephen, one second. Here's the most galling thing. He's a professional man. And do you see the angle he was at? And Stephen Beacon will agree with me here, I would say. See the angle he was at? He guessed where the ball hit. He didn't see it. He had to guess it because he couldn't see from the angle he was at. So a professional put his job on the line by guessing.
Stephen Beacon, just one other question. Did it feel right to you? And look, I know in this day and age of sports rights that's what we've got to live with. But I just kind of felt last night... There was a massive occasion for Northern Ireland, and the game's not on terrestrial TV. It's not on UTV. It's not on BBC. And I know that's the day. That's the world we're in now, Stephen. But it once was the case that a match like that, you know, everybody, whether they had the ability to have satellite television or not, in terms of affordability, could sit down with their family and watch a match like that.
Stephen, I totally agree with you. It would have been brilliant if that match had been on BBC or UTV last night so everyone in the country could have seen it. But unfortunately, the world that we live in, whoever pays the most money gets the TV rights, and that is Sky Sports at this particular moment in time. Now, I do know this. Sky Sports do a fantastic job, and they had Ian Dowie, Jerry Taggart, on their coverage last night. Two great Northern Ireland internationals who have got the country at heart. And but listen, if we get to the World Cup, Stephen, it's going to be on terrestrial TV then, so everyone will see it. And I would say this, if Northern Ireland get to the World Cup from here, it'll be the greatest sporting achievement from anyone from this country to pull this back, given what happened at Windsor. And I wish the boys well, because they would make the tournament better, as would the fans. And the atmosphere last night, as George said, it was remarkable. Fair play to the supporters who stuck with that team, even whenever they went a goal down. And we're going to need that again. The players still have hope. That's the most important thing here. The players still have hope, and this still can happen, even though it's going to be an almighty task.
CO30 30 80 55 55. Malachy. Morning, Malachy.
How you doing, Stephen? Listen, I have a great respect for wee George at Ringsend. I do, I love him. But I think at the end of the day, he has to agree with me. I can't swing both ways, because I've been there.
Well, now, don't knock it until you've tried it.
Okay. Well, fair enough. But I've been to quite a few Republic of Ireland matches all over the world. Love the atmosphere, love the fans, because you're with your own kind, and that's what it is for both sides. But in saying that, you know, I'm a passionate footballer. I'm a passionate GAA supporter. If your team plays bad, and despite your pundits talking there about, you know, this, Northern Ireland didn't turn up last night. They played pathetic. And I, as a fan, if I was a Northern Ireland fan, would have walked out of that stadium and with my head down, because this was a massive match for both Northern Ireland fans and, you know, their supporters. And I have walked out of GAA matches when the team plays bad. I have walked out of matches that I paid hundreds of pounds to watch when the team playing bad. You've got to vote with your feet. And I know the penalty was horrendous. And when Terry Henry...
Malachy, you know you're being ridiculous. Your team doesn't play well, so you walk out on them. That's not what you do. You get behind them, Malachy, and you try to encourage... You walk out on them?
What
type of supporter are you?
Malachy, you're making my point for me, so you are. You're making my point for me, Northern Ireland fans. See through the dark days there when we couldn't score a goal, we couldn't get a win. Northern Ireland fans stuck with it. They're one of the only sets of fans. They're getting beat 2-0, 3-0, those things. 1-0 last night, nobody moved out of that ground.
Jordy, I take my hat off to you. I absolutely take my
hat off to you. Your other ones about fans or other fans.
Walking out? You walk out on your team if they're not playing well.
Well, you're in the Premiership.
Can I tell you that? If I took that attitude, I'd have walked out in this Nolan team many, many years ago. Wouldn't have been
I would love to walk out on you. 9 years that I've worked with you, Egypt. Can I just say, this is where radio falls down a bit. Your diet's clearly going well. He is currently surrounded by a multi-pack, 6 packets of crisps, a crunchy, and a dib dab.
Dib dabs.
This big Nolan TV diet, clearly it's going really well, isn't it?
And what we're asking...
Would that be good if you see Nolan walking up Warmer Avenue all the time going, there he is, he was covered, he's walked out. I think it would be a laugh.
What is this we're playing now?
This is the oldest swinger in town. I don't know if this applies to you or who it's meant to apply to.
All right, so this is, I think it is the right time this morning.
It's time to swing.
To ask if...
Get him over for a load of them ribs.
A what?
Get him over to Malachy's for a load of them ribs.
I love you.
I think the question that we've been asking all week is really apt this morning now. Yes. Would you encourage people... George Nashanko, for example, to swing both ways now and prepare themselves for the possibility that they'll have to change their allegiance to the Republic of Ireland team.
Yes, Ivan, as I told you before, whatever one of the 5 home nations gets there, Ivan, here, and Mother England and the Republic, we're not there, they'll be the 3 teams as what's
you'll do what?
He said he'll support Mother England or the Republic.
You would do what?
If Northern Ireland fail to make it and the Republic get there, I'll throw my weight behind both England and the Republic.
So you'll be a swinger?
Yes, I'll be a swinger.
You're swinging three ways.
Support England. You couldn't support
three
England.
Ways. Off all the way.
Right.
Couldn't
do it. Look, here's what we're doing. You've heard the music this morning, yes. So it's time to give some of our T-shirts away again.
Can I say before you start to cause a problem for the programme and the team, there are a limited number of these T-shirts.
These are limited edition T-shirts.
Yes, you might have seen them on the TV the other night. They suggest that you will swing both ways. Have you got one?
I'm undecided.
That's not what I've heard.
So here's the score. If you're just tuning in and you're wondering what on earth is going on, we're asking you today if you're prepared to swing both ways. Are you indeed prepared to support both the Northern Ireland team and the Republic of Ireland team in this campaign? And you kind of swing depending on how you get up in the morning and which team you want to support. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you support both teams? We've got T-shirts, limited edition T-shirts, as Vinny was
saying. Limited number.
Yes. And what you've got to do, if you want a T-shirt, you've got to get on air this morning and tell us why you're a swinger.
So you only get a T-shirt if you get on air. That's it.
Yes.
So don't be ringing or texting later on saying, I just want a T-shirt, just give me a T-shirt. That's what happens with these things. That's the deal. Okay?
John and Donnamina, I would put my house on the fact that he swings both ways.
Well, I'm not the one to talk about T-shirts, Mr. Noel.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mr. Noel.
Tell me, do you swing both ways?
I support the mother nation of England. I never supported Northern Ireland. I definitely wouldn't support the Republic of Ireland. And all I've heard this morning as bleating and crying and going on was Northern Ireland and Switzerland playing under FIFA regulations last night.
Yes.
Was the referee appointed by FIFA, the Federation of International Football Associations?
The referee was a
was
tube.
Was he appointed by by FIFA?
The referee
was
a tube.
Was the referee appointed by FIFA?
He was clearly appointed by FIFA.
Yes.
And he is clearly a tube.
The referee's decision is final.
The referee's decision was crazy.
The referee's decision is final. And you get £450,000 to call him a tube. Other in total disrespect.
John, would you like a T-shirt, John?
He's not getting one now for saying that.
No, hold on, he can have a T-shirt. You can have two. Do you want two T-shirts, John?
I would burn them.
No.
I would burn the T-shirt.
Well, I'm not sending you a T-shirt then.
No, I would burn it. I would set fire to it.
Oh, would you mind not misquoting my salary, please?
£450,000 from your BBC work and then Thirsty Productions. I don't know what you get.
Well, here we go.
Paradise Papers, Stephen? Are you in the Paradise Papers?
Here we go. No, I'm not. But I can tell you that the producer who was investigating the case did...
Who has the producer, Stephen?
He did look up me to see if I was in them.
Stephen, who has the producer?
Ah, shut up.
Stephen.
It's 9:31. Here's the number
Stephen,
this morning.
Who's the producer?
What do you mean, who's the producer? We have many producers.
Oh, no, you have. You've got actually a producer that flaps in and out.
What?
You've actually got a producer that can walk under his job.
Oh, well, David Thompson,
David Gordon I'm talking about. David Gordon.
Oh, we're on that one now. He doesn't work for the BBC. He's a big figure in Department of Health now, press officer.